He is the Southwest Regional Director of the National Parks Conservation Association, and we'll be talking about some more proposed legislation that could mean good news for the national park system.
It's This Green Earth. You must come back. We'll be right back.
Support for KPCW comes from Rocky Mountain Power, working to make renewable energy available to every Utahan. Learn about the new subscriber solar program and other renewable energy choices at utahsolarworks.com.
Support for KPCW programming has been provided by the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting Utah's remaining Red Rock Wilderness lands. SUWA and Utah's Red Rock Wilderness need your support now more than ever. To learn more about how you can become involved, please visit the SUWA website at suwa.org.
You start.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And next up on the show today is David Nimkin. He's the Southwest Regional Director of the National Parks Conservation Association. And we'll be talking about the Restore Our Parks and Public Lands Act, which would provide $5.2 billion in dedicated funding to reduce the National Park Service's deferred maintenance backlog. So, David, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Nell. It's good to be with you.
So as we get started, just start by telling us the basics on the National Parks Conservation Association and what you do.
Sure. NPCA, as we're called, is a membership organization created 100 years ago next year that was and is devoted expressly to protecting our nation's national parks. We have about 1.4 million members and supporters across the country and work in regional offices across the country and in Washington, D.C. To advance a wide range of protections of these very special places in American life.
So what's been going on in our national parks these past years or decades or so with respect to their infrastructure and their upkeep?
Well, good question. I think part of what we've recognized, there's been a fairly substantial decrease in the amount of funding that Congress has authorized, both for operations and for overall maintenance. Overall, the budget of the entire national park system is about $3.2 billion. Really, since 2011, because of cutbacks in funding and attrition, they've lost about 11% of their staff. And at the same time, nationally, there has been an increase in visitation of 19%. And, of course, in Utah, we know that it's almost 100% increase in visitation. So when you have that kind of use, you have the decrease in resources that, you know, is part of the promise that we have for protecting these places, something's got to give. And presently there's about $500 million shortfall in operations funding. And as the managers and superintendents of these places across the country have had to find some balance to meet the demand and the infrastructure, there have been choices made that has deferred maintenance of some order. And so at the present time, there is a maintenance backlog of really substantial deferred maintenance over $11 billion nationwide.
And I was interested to see that you can go online and see what that breakdown is by state and by park to see what it is these parks need. And I think here in Utah, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, it was over $200 million in deferred maintenance in our five national parks.
Correct. And I don't think that even includes, you say the five national parks, and we have eight other national park units, areas that are also managed by the National Park Service.
So if I read this right, the Senate passed a bill that would provide $6.5 billion over 5 years. And then Congress just last week or so passed a companion bill, let's say, that would provide $5.2 billion. You know, they're always going back and forth. Now they have to come together in committee and hash out the differences and come out with a bill they both agree to, correct?
That's correct. And, you know, this has been a multi-year effort to try to find some resolution for this. This is not a problem that has become apparent overnight. And there have been efforts in previous years with different pieces of legislation. And, you know, to be honest, you know, our belief is that national parks are a nonpartisan issue. This isn't something that people should be debating about and fighting about. Sometimes we find ourselves doing that, but, you know, this co-sponsorship of this bill in the House of Representatives by our own Rob Bishop and Raul Grijalva are, you know, an odd couple, don't normally agree, and that they have come together in finding a way that, you know, would benefit all of us. And, you know, our hope is that it could glide into something that will hopefully be more productive in the future. But you're right, there will be a conference to somehow reconcile a lot of some of the differences in this. But the basic infrastructure of the bill is quite similar and quite consistent. Mm.
So, yeah, let's talk about kind of where this funding would come from. How is that structured?
Yeah, it's there's been a history, and maybe some of your listeners have known about something called the Land and Water Conservation Fund that has been incredibly important in securing and protecting private lands within national parks, adjacent lands, and so forth for various sources. And that's funded by offshore oil and gas revenues. It's been authorized to $900 million every year, but it hasn't really, they haven't had appropriations at that level. I believe in the last year it was appropriated at about $450 million. And so the concern had been that if you're looking at that source of revenue to fund the deferred maintenance, that you would sacrifice some of the Land Water Conservation Fund resources. And so I think what's important about this bill is that it is, in fact, tapping into revenues the government collects not only from offshore oil and gas, but also onshore oil and gas, but also renewables. And so there's a fund that is created. It does not tap into the previous commitments and obligations from those different resources, like land and water conservation, which also needs reauthorization by the end of September, by the way. And it will generate $1.3 billion a year for 5 years. That's in the Senate bill that would total $6.5 billion. I think I might have said million, but I meant billion.
Right.
And so part of that is, well, that's not enough, and ultimately we might hope that this would prove to be such a success. It would be reauthorized 5 years hence. But the highest and greatest needs for in the deferred maintenance field, and like everything, like in our own homes, we have the greatest needs and the lesser important needs. The greatest and highest needs total about $5.6 billion. So, from our perspective, this either bill really would address what are the greatest and highest needs that we have.
Yeah, Can you cite some examples? Where would you like to see this money go to first and foremost? What park needs it most?
Well, you know, I'm the regional director for the Southwest, and that includes Arizona and Colorado, Utah, New Mexico. Probably the most, the poster child from our perspective, is the Grand Canyon.
Hmm.
The water for the almost 6 million people that visit the Grand Canyon every year comes from the North Rim with a pipeline that was built almost 60 years ago, and it leaks like a sieve. And, you know, 5 million people rely on that, rely on that water supply. And the cost of just keeping it functional, and you've got to imagine how difficult it is to repair a pipeline that goes down the Grand Canyon and across the Colorado River and, you know, has enough pressure to get up at least halfway to the South Rim. That needs to be replaced, and it needs not to be patched with, you know, chewing gum,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately would be replaced, and that, I believe, is about a $200 million proposition. So that's one of the greatest needs. Another, in our own backyard, is Zion National Park. And we know about the extreme visitation that has, you know, affected the ability of just the park staff and the park resources to maintain that. And, you know, a brilliant plan back in the late 90s and early aughts to implement the shuttle system in conjunction with the town of Springdale is great because it keeps cars out of the valley and, you know, makes a much richer experience for visitors, but it certainly increased visitation. And what's little known is that the roadbed through that valley was not built and constructed with the heavy loads that the shuttle buses require, and that roadbed needs to be replaced. I don't have the exact figure, but that's a pretty major, massive endeavor. But it's that kind of pressure, whether infrastructure is old, needing to be replaced, or infrastructure that has been overused and not built for the increased demand that the visitation is placed on it.
So, yeah, in just a couple minutes that we have left, if people are interested in, you know, learning more about this or making their voice heard, where should they go?
Well, they can visit our website, which is npca.org, and locate tabs that relate to this legislation. I think it's important to recognize that, you know, we have, not always the case, an example here where members of Congress have reached across the aisle, have found some common ground, and I think our representatives, all representatives in the state of Utah, have supported this, and I think they need to be acknowledged for going beyond the political rhetoric and looking at values and needs that really all Utahns and all Americans really value a great deal.
Right, particularly a tip of the cap to Rob Bishop, our congressman here,
mm-hmm.
Who actually is the House Natural Resources Committee chairman. And like you said, Dave, that together with Raul Grijalva, who is the ranking member, Democrat, they've come together to put together this bill, which we said in our intro was fascinating because we actually got to use bipartisan effort for the first time in a long time. And
well,
that's very encouraging.
My head, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, when was the last time? And so maybe this is a sign of things to come. Keep my fingers crossed.
Well,
absolutely.
And I was just thinking about a couple months ago, we interviewed somebody from the Park Service talking about, she did a paper or a study on the effects of rising sea levels on coastal national park structures. And I bet these might be parts of the infrastructure that you talk about that have to be identified, inventoried, and kept up.
Absolutely. One small little factoid that I think is important, the only other unit in the federal government that has more assets, more infrastructure than the National Park Service is the Department of Defense. So when you think about how vast the infrastructure is of the Park Service, you know, I just would want to reassert how critically important it is that Congress continue to step up and fulfill the covenant that they created when these parks were created. It's not going to be served by fees. Fees at parks, we often talk about that, provide about 1% of the total maintenance budget for any and all parks throughout the country. So it really has to be a combination of this kind of legislation, transportation bills that will fix roads and bridges, and some measure of philanthropy that will get the job done.
Well, we're discouraged in the first part of the show talking about the potential changes to the Endangered Species Act. This is encouraging, David. So thanks for bringing some balance to our show.
Well, I'm not sure the balance is equivalent, but it's a big deal nonetheless.
It is a big deal. And like you say, the majority of Americans support our national parks, our treasure. All right, David Nimkin, Southwest Regional Director of the National Parks Conservation Association. Thanks so much.